Everybody, welcome to the press. Welcome to the start of a new week. It is a jam-packed week we've got this week. Today, we are going to talk about the Zurich Classic of New Orleans for a little while, and then we are going to talk about the LIV Golf Adelaide event as well. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed last week's tournament. If you were brave enough to play the exacta of Scottie Scheffler winning and then Nelly Korda winning, well, actually, reverse that. Nelly won first, then Scottie won on a Monday. Then you did pretty okay. Otherwise, you probably, at best, got a, what, 4-1, 5-1 payoff on Scottie Scheffler, and a similar kind of number on Nelly Korda, depending on when you bought it. So, if you did that, congratulations. Hey, cool. You probably saw that coming. You may not have entirely seen it coming, though. I mean, you kind of figured there had to be some kind of mitigating circumstances for Scheffler, right? That he had just won the Masters, was really tired, had a lot of obligations, probably not a lot of time to prepare, and that he may not have been as ready to play as he turned out to be. But he's also on autopilot right now and playing some of the best golf you've ever seen. So how much worse can it be? He also won the Masters without his best stuff. So maybe that wasn't that surprising. On Nelly Korda's side of things, to me, that kind of felt like that was the obvious outcome. It's a longer golf course. She is a better driver of the golf ball. She is a longer player. She's extremely confident. No one on the LPGA is even sniffing her. There's no one that's been consistently kind of hanging around her. So that was for hers for the taking. So hopefully you took advantage of that over the course of the weekend. And if not, maybe you thought the odds were too short. Hey, that's okay too. Save some ammo. We are going to talk about the Zurich Classic in New Orleans today, but I'm going to caution you about that this week. I don't like betting on this tournament. I don't like betting on it for a number of reasons. One, you have multiple formats to contend with. You've got alternate shot and best ball to deal with. Those are two very different things. And you have to then rely on two players. It's hard enough to rely on one player. So I would strongly encourage you, if you're going to bet on this, bet light and take some long shots, have some fun with it. Like if something comes home, cool, you did great. If it doesn't come home, that is also okay. Please don't get yourself wrapped up in trying to bet this week. You've got other opportunities to bet this week between LIV, between the DP World Tour. You've got the LPGA Tour in Los Angeles at a somewhat predictable venue. You've got the Champions Tour if you feel so compelled. And we'll talk about the Champions Tour on Wednesday. We're going to talk about the LPGA tomorrow. There will be no model this week. I'm not modeling a 160-person 80-team tournament. That's just not going to happen. So I'm just not going to do that. But I'm happy to show you on our cheat sheet for our members at golfnewsnet.com how those players, those 160 players, have done in the last five tournaments played. Even with the team component, I don't think it's fair to try, because some players switch teams, some players get different partners, some players have played in all of them with the same crummy partner. No. And some of them are in this tournament for different reasons, right? So you've got the Højgaards and the Fitzpatricks. Both sets of brothers are playing this week. Nikolaj has great status, a top 50 player in the world. He's only getting better. Rasmus doesn't have quite that status yet. He's a multi-time winner on the DP World Tour, but he's not quite there yet. But if they were to win this week, Rasmus gets status all of a sudden. Same thing for Matt and Alex Fitzpatrick. Alex had a great summer last year, got himself onto the DP World Tour, and if they win this week, Matt and Alex, then Alex gets full PGA Tour status. That's absolutely something worth playing for. But the motivations are different versus Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele have won this event. They have nothing to lose. They're just doing it because they like hanging out with one another. And that's kind of it, you know? That's it. So it's a chance for them to hang out. You've got Colin Morikawa, who plays this event because he seems to like it, but I don't know. He had Max Homa last year, and that was cool. Now he's with Kurt Kitayama. So in trying to analyze who did what in a one-game scenario of them playing together, then do you assign him a value and Kurt Kitayama a mystery value? It's really hard to do. It's really hard to assess this tournament. So you can try it by feel. You probably will fail. I will probably fail. But let's talk about it a little bit, and we'll talk about it for just a few minutes here, then we won't talk about it anymore. You can place your bets on whatever you want, and you can move on with life. So just keep that in mind when we're thinking about this tournament this week. So that all said, let's look at DraftKings odds for this week. It's probably going to be a light betting week, and you're not going to see a lot of action. So if you decide, and you're probably not going to see a lot of lines either. It's not like you're going to see like top 10, top 20, top 5 lines. I mean, they might come out with those, but right now the market is just teams outright, which means you don't really get a whole, you don't even get much props here. I don't even know if you're going to get matchups. There's not a lot to work with here, which is why we're not spending a whole lot of time with this. But top of the table, 9-2, Cantlay Schauffele. At 7-1 is Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. I think it's an interesting team, worthwhile to potentially bet if you're going to bet somebody. I would go down to Will Zalatoris and Sahith Theegala at 10-1. I do kind of like Colin Morikawa and Kurt Kitayama at 16-1. Both those guys are kind of the archetype of player that has won here when this was an individual event. Really good ball strikers that maybe aren't necessarily the best putters, and you don't have to be all that long of a player. Think like Brian Stewart, Jason Duffner, Bubba Watson to a degree, even though he was long. Those guys really like this place. Steve Stricker really liked this place, but he was an incredible putter, and he's playing this week. So 16-1, I think, is worth it. If you believe in the notion of proper motivation to play this week, the Højgaards are right in there. They're your first team, 22-1. Tom Hoagie and Maverick McNealy. Mav's shown some close calls in the last couple months, had a great run at the Players. Tom Hoagie had a really rough finish to his RBC Heritage. I think he made a 9 at the final hole, made a mess of the 18th hole. So maybe he's got something to play for. But he has been playing well overall. So 25-1 is worth a look. Fitzpatrick's here at 25-1. Two teams, Canada this week. The first is Taylor Pendrith and Corey Connors at 28-1. I am intrigued by that because Pendrith just hits the hell out of the ball. Had a good finish last week in Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic. And Corey Connors is just a great ball striker. Neither of them, though, are very good putters. And you need someone to make some putts in alternate shot. I am not convinced either of them can do that. So that's why I think 28-1 is a little high. But if you were so compelled by Team Canada, that would be it. You're 40-1. You have a bunch of 40-1s. Taylor Montgomery and Ben Griffin. If you're thinking about anything there, that's the opposite of Pendrith Connors. You've got a great putter in Taylor Montgomery who doesn't do a whole lot else. Ben Griffin's got a good short game and a pretty good ball striker, so you're kind of the opposite realm of that. Sepp Straka and Bryce Garnett, I don't even know how that team got together. I mean, I assume they're friends, obviously. They didn't just get paired up randomly, but I would not trust that at 40-1. The other team, Canada, is Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin. They are 40-1. Heath Mitchell and Joel Damon at 40-1. Conceptually, I would like, but I don't love because Keith Mitchell just lost his caddy to Akshay Bhatia. Joel Damon's kind of in this state of flux. I would rather go down the board if you're going to go trust somebody. 45-1. Interestingly enough, DraftKings has Straka Garnett at 40-1 and Garnett Straka at 40-1. So you might want to pull that off the board. It looks silly. Tom Dietrich and Bob McIntyre are 45-1. I kind of like that, but I'm not in love with that. Doug Gim and Chan Kim at 45-1. I do kind of like that team. Chan Kim is playing really good golf, I think, at the moment. Doug is extremely streaky, but does seem to like the TPCs. Could work in their favor. Davis Thompson and Andrew Novak are 45-1. Victor Perez and Daniel Berger, which does feel like a pretty random team, 45-1. Kevin Yu and CT Pan are 50-1. I do like this duo, Billy Horschel and Tyson Alexander at 50-1. Billy Ho just won in Punta Cana. Good for him. Tyson Alexander has been playing better golf. I can get behind that at 50-1. And then we'll start digging down a little bit more. Torbjørn Olesen and Matt Wallace at 65-1, I think, is worth a consideration. Maybe Taylor Moore and Matt Neesmith. Neesmith has done pretty well in this event before. Taylor Moore has been playing good golf. 65-1, I can go with. Ryan Fox and Garrick Higo are 65-1, which I think is a really interesting team because they are just going to get out there and hit the hell out of it and see if it works. And that could work very well in the better ball format. I'm not sure how well they'll coexist in the alternate shot, but they are kind of the same guy. Ryan Fox is much more refined, but I think they're a similar guy, so that might kind of work. Then I did mention Steve Stricker is playing. He's playing with Matt Kuchar, 80-1. I don't think they're going to get there. If you could have a top five bet, I'd consider that, but I would not pick them to win. And then you start to kind of get these teams where there's clear liabilities, clear issues. The era of Ryan Palmer getting like the best player available because he asks first are over. He's with Zach Johnson. They're 100-1. Absolutely not. Alex Smalley and Matty Schmid are kind of interesting because I like Matty Schmid. 100-1 could be worth it. Here's one that if you really want to take a random chance, I think it's worth a look at least. Tristan Lawrence and Aldrick Potgieter. They're South African guys. Aldrick has already won on the Korn Ferry Tour this year. He's in great shape to get to the PGA Tour. Tristan Lawrence doesn't really have much going for him, but maybe having a partner here could be a great opportunity for him. I do kind of like that team. Just you never know what four rounds can do. Just think about last year having Davis Riley, be a winner here and go do it with Nick Hardy, and those guys were having a horrible year, and all of a sudden they're winners on the PGA Tour. So keep that in mind that you could have that result. I'm trying to think of some a little bit deeper teams that might be worth a look. Maybe Zach Blair and Patrick Fishburne. Fishburne's playing really well on the Korn Ferry Tour. Maybe Jimmy Stanger and Adrien Dumont-Deschassart. Dumont-Deschassart is playing better against weaker competition. And Jimmy Stanger is making really good use of his opportunities to play the PGA Tour. I could sort of get behind that a little bit. I don't want you to bet on this, but one of my favorite teams in the field is Alejandro Tosti and Ted Potter Jr. They seem like two peas in a perfect pod together, and I think it could be really fun to just watch them play golf. I love watching Alejandro Tosti play golf. He is just he's so entertaining. It's not from a betting perspective, just I like watching him play golf. So, again, the odds are really stacked against like a 200, 300-1 team winning. It's just it's different when you have to rely on another golfer, an alternate shot. Kind of takes some of the unlikeliness out of it. But if you're going to do it, you might as well have some fun with it. And I mean, take like 1/10 unit bets, if that, maybe 1/20 unit bets, if it makes you feel comfortable, and just have a sweat. And at worst, you lose $10 or $50, depending on the size of your unit, whatever that is. And you go from there. But please do not bet a lot of money on this. This is just not worth your time. I would rather you go look at PGA Championship odds, which we can do for a couple of seconds, and put some money there, put some money to work there, because we're a month away from that tournament. I would much rather you do that. If you're looking at PGA Championship odds, Scottie Scheffler is 7-2 right now to win, which implies a 22.22% chance of winning with a theoretical hold of something like 6 to 7%. That feels a lot more likely. Now, would you bet him to win if this is the tournament he comes back to? We don't know if he's coming back here or if he's coming back Wells Fargo the week prior. Would Wells Fargo be a warm-up tournament to get ready for this one at Valhalla? Also worth noting, the last two times they played the PGA Championship at Valhalla, the world number one won. Once it was Rory McIlroy going back-to-back in majors in 2014. The time before that was Tiger Woods taking down Bob May. So if you think that trend line will continue, and there's no reason to believe it's even a trend line that matters, then you would pick Scheffler. But 3.5-1 just doesn't feel right. McIlroy's 9-1, Rahm's 10-1, Koepka's 16-1. I can get behind Koepka because it feels like the PGA setup just jibes with his game very well, but I would go straight to Ludvig Åberg at 18-1, and that would be my first play. It's a longer golf course. I like Wyndham Clark. He had a weird weekend, but had some good results in there, so 25-1 I think is worth a look for him. Bryson at 25-1 I think is worth a look. Played well in the PGA Championship last year in a tougher setup. Played well in the Masters to start the year this year. I do like that play. Max Homa, 30-1, is starting to figure this thing out in the majors. All of a sudden, goes from no top 10s to a top 10 and getting real close to the Masters. I like that play quite a bit. Maybe Tyrrell Hatton, I liked what I saw from him at times at the Masters. Maybe you want to see what he does at the LIV Golf event this week. Maybe Cameron Young at 40-1. It's hard to bet him to win, right? Minwoo Lee at 50-1 is worth a look, I think. Maybe Asahit Thegala at 80-1, I think, is long enough to consider. That's probably where I would stop it for now. If you want to look super down the board at someone that just kind of pops out at you. I do like Ryan Fox's game a lot, 130 to 1. If you want to put $10 on that, an unlikely result of things kind of deal. After that, no. There's nothing. It's like, oh, yeah, you have, maybe, I mean, maybe a Denny McCarthy. Valhalla is a Nicklaus. He plays Nicklaus at home. He could do very well on that golf course. It's not as tight. It's kind of like the Valero Texas Open, where his driving is not a huge penalty. That could be intriguing to me, but I would be very interested in looking at Billy Horschel at 200-1. He's the last shot on the board there. And now that he's in for sure, and we know all that good stuff, 200-1 I think is worth like $5. And it might just blow up in your face right away, but he's playing some very, very good golf. All right, let's talk LIV Golf Adelaide. They're playing the Grange Golf Club once again. This is a full slate offering. This was by far LIV's most popular tournament last year. I mean, it wasn't even close. Best attended, most noisy, most notable. I think Chase Koepka had the hole in one on like the beer hole, and that scene was crazy. It was, of all the tournaments they put on, by far the best one. I don't even think it was all that close. So I think they're trying to recreate that spirit here this week. If you look at the outright market for this tournament, you get the sense that the odds makers think John Rahm is weak. He's 7.5 to 1, 15 to 2, plus 750, whatever way you want to read it. But Bryson is right there at 8 to 1. And this will be the first time we've seen Bryson since the Masters, and kind of fallen by the wayside steadily throughout the course of the weekend. But he did have a good week at the Masters. And I think this golf course does suit his game extremely well. I wonder if Taylor Gooch is properly motivated, and I believe that he is, to win here again. He won in a rout last year. He's 11 to 1 here to repeat. For as much as it's easy to make fun of him for, you know, talking about him needing to be in the majors and putting an asterisk on a Masters title, blah, 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 which no one actually believes. I'm not even sure Taylor believes that, but he may have internalized the sense that, hey, I got screwed not being in this tournament. I believe I should be in the Masters next year, and I'm going to do everything I can to prove it. And that starts now. This is his first opportunity at a place he really clearly likes. 11 to 1. Worth it. Dean Burmester is 16 to 1. And I think this should tell you the difference between the PGA Tour and LIV. Dean Burmester has really done something with himself on this tour. It's very interesting to watch. And to then win the Doral event, take down Sergio Garcia. Sergio is 28 to 1, I think is worth a bet. Dean Burmester has really done something with himself on this tour to suddenly be he is the seventh favorite on the board for the week. That's insane. Like, if he were playing the RBC Heritage, he'd be like 70 to 1. And that's not to say because one tour is so much deeper than the other. I mean, there are differences. But the way he has found a game here on this tour and then let it carry over back to the DP World Tour has been impressive. If you look at the results from last year, Burmester played well here, T7. Taylor Gooch won by 3 in the end because he shot 73 in the final round after 262s. Anirban Lahiri he got better every round, finished in second. Patrick Reed was T3 here. I think he is worth a look. Peter Uihlein, I believe, is also worth a look. So Reed is 25 to 1. Peter Uihlein is 45 to 1. Just played pretty well on the Asian Tour in the Saudi Open. John Catlin is kicking ass on that tour. And he won in a runaway, but Peter Uihlein did play well in that event. 45 to 1, I think, is worth a look. David Puig is 50 to 1. He's been playing pretty well also in these Asian Tour events. I think it's worth a consideration. Lahiri's 65 to 1. I know he just kind of pops up out of nowhere, but I do like his game, and I think it will probably match this venue pretty well. I talked about Bryson. Bryson was not playing well last year. He opened 73, then 65, 69, finished T26. It's kind of hard to draw from playing one venue one time, but that is worth noting, I suppose. Cam Smith, maybe because he is probably pretty motivated to play this week. He has not played particularly well this year, so maybe there's something to that. I think that probably is it. That'd probably be the most comfortable I would be betting those kind of guys. I mean, I think at some point John Rahm's got to win in this league. He just plays too well not to, so maybe he just comes out here and destroys everybody. And then Dustin Johnson was embarrassingly bad at the Masters. I mean, seemed underprepared, just didn't have it, after he said he was recommitting himself to his game this year. So maybe that embarrassment will properly motivate him to play this week. And a 22-1, I think, is worth at least a look for the week. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks so much for spending some time with me. Tomorrow, like I said, we'll go over the LPGA event, which is the JM Eagle LA Championship at Wilshire Country Club. One of my favorite courses any tour plays all year. It's one of the class, you know, the big five clubs in Los Angeles. It's one of the ones I most would like to play someday. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And we'll see if we get all the market for the other events of the week, whether we get a market for the Veritex Bank Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour, whether we get something for the Mitsubishi Electric Classic in Georgia on the Champions. One way or another, if we don't get those, then we'll do DP World Tour, which they're in Japan this week, the ISPS Handa Dash Championship, which is a very strange name for a tournament, but there you go. So there's that. We will get through all the events this week as best we can. Like I said, without a model, we'll just have proper amount of time to talk about each, and no more than that. We're not going to just drag it out. If you are interested in joining Golf News Net, join for $40 a year at golfnewsnet.com. Go to the join button, click on that, go through the process. Easy to sign up. You can sign up for $10 for the first week, and it's $30 after that for the remainder of the payment after the 7 days. I actually had somebody sign up for literally the week of the Masters and then cancel, which I was kind of surprised someone actually did that. But hey, here we are. I would not advise you to do that, but up to you. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Thanks for listening. Get a hold of me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com, Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Ryan Ballingy, Facebook, YouTube, at Ryan Ballingy Golf, and Golf News Net's on every one of those services, and the handle Golf News Net. We will talk to you tomorrow on The Press.